Okay, my name's Kenny Smith. What I want to do is just kind of follow on from Dermot's overview of how the system works and talk a little bit about the design and application potential that I have seen as an engineer over the past few years. I won't go through the learning objectives again. Dermot's kind of summarized those, so I'll skip over these. So first of all, I've been working with variable refrigerant systems for the past 6 to 7 years. Might tell by my accent, I'm not from these parts, but born and raised in Scotland, that's where I started in the industry, and with the kind of perfect ambient conditions there, it was mainly working with the air-cooled systems. It wasn't until I moved to Las Vegas, Nevada, and since then, Toronto, Canada, working with more extreme climates, that I started working with the water-cooled systems. I think it's the extreme kind of nature on the extreme heat, especially in Vegas, where they're typically using large chilled water systems. And in Canada, where they're using large hot water systems, where we found great potential to kind of change the way of thinking. I think also in today's changing, like the economic climate and the way engineers are now being forced through kind of codes and new standards to kind of change their way of thinking and look at more energy efficient designs, there is a very, very high potential to start using these systems throughout North America. So, first of all, I wanted to kind of go through some of the major design drivers that kind of form that decision. I think building owners and operators now are looking for systems which essentially reduce energy consumption and operating costs across the lifespan of the buildings. They want to install reliable and robust systems, easy maintenance, easy facility management. Like Dermot said, the system has been around and continually improved for the past 15 to 20 years and adapted to kind of each climate and each continent across the world, as we've seen in the UK, in America, and up in Canada. Ultimately, providing a comfortable and healthy environment, almost a self-controlled system with very little human interaction, and maintaining very accurate set points and great comfort conditions. And then furthering that overall global controllability from the system monitoring point of view, from the facilities management point of view, and also can provide very accurate tenant billing. So when we install these systems as a more central system, which may cross tenant spaces and different building usages, it can accurately monitor the energy consumption right down to a fine coil for billing. And then finally, kind of just the way we're all thinking now, the continual changing of codes 62.1, 90.1, 189, and leads we see on almost the majority of buildings up in Canada anyway, as a standard, and specifically on the energy and atmosphere credit, some high targets to meet. We found some real good potential for installing these systems. So why and when? I mean, they're right for various circumstances, various projects. They're not always the right solution, but as these systems have grown and adapted and integrated, these are some of the projects which we have been involved in and we've seen potential. Commercial buildings are a perfect example. we can integrate both on the comfort conditioning side, on generating domestic hot water, integrating with radiant systems. So when we have a very mixed use space, we can tie a lot of the mechanical systems together for further efficiencies and further cost saving benefits. On the residential side, like I said, if we have a more central system, we can get further efficiencies, but also very accurate tenant billing. So when we've looked at, when we've installed these in high-rise condominiums and their central banks of condensing units serving multiple fan coils between various tenant spaces, the building landlord or owner can provide very accurate tenant billing data for the actual energy they're using. Government facilities as well, we've done a few. Again, that integration of systems, but eliminating any potential for security risk or cross-contamination, which you might typically see dedicated systems for dedicated usages. And on the government side, we can tie these systems together without losing that. Existing buildings and retrofits is a huge one. I think just the modular nature of these systems, the component sizes, makes it a very good fit for coming in to an existing space and retrofitting these. We've seen there's great potential in a lot of these office buildings in Toronto, especially from the 50s and 60s. Which have old chilled water systems, they're looking to replace out the refrigerant. There's some mechanical rooms in the basement that are jammed up. There's no access. There's no way of getting systems in, brand new chillers. They're having to build, you know, new penthouses on the roof. If you've got that condenser water loop there and that heat rejection loop, it's very easy to go in. You need very little space with the condensing units, and you can retrofit these very well. I mean, you can fit them in a service elevator and install them very well. I think they're very, very quiet, although the condensing units contain the compressors. I think the noise criteria is very low, so you can actually install within an occupied space. So if you are tight for room, we find ourselves installing these systems within cupboards in the occupied space. So there's a huge range of benefits. Historical buildings similarly as well, without losing that the look to these buildings, again limited for space, limited for distribution space as well. We can go into small cupboards and we can run refrigerant piping very easily without losing the aesthetic in some grand spaces. So essentially, I mean, and on the healthcare and labs in Toronto as well, a lot of the time, if we've got some large contaminated exhaust systems, which it's hard to recover heat from without your kind of more typical runaround loops, we can tie the water-cooled system into these very easily without potential for cross-contamination. So overall, I mean, I think there's a potential in all buildings for the water-cooled heat pump and heat recovery system, where it's wherever it's a viable, cost-effective solution over and looking at the long-term NPV of the building. So, the major benefits to these which we have found is the full integration, and this is where you get your best energy savings. First, looking at your comfort cooling, your standard water cool, either your heat pump or heat recovery system, but then we can integrate right in with the with our fresh air, our outdoor air systems, and ERVs. Directly. If we've got coils, we can either on the water side tie in, or we can expand through DX coil within the air system can be tied back directly on the DX side of the water cooled system for additional heat recovery. Generation of domestic hot water is a great one, and we find huge potential there on a lot of projects. Where we've got a lot of heat rejection, we can take that and generate high temperature hot water and put it into a through an immersion into a big domestic hot water tank. In a lot of specifically in commercial residential, but also I'll touch on a couple of specific examples where we've done it on some government facilities too. And then also the ability to produce low temperature hot water and chilled water. So we can tie into, say, radiant floors, chilled beams, coils within the space, and again, recover heat between all systems for a fully integrated mechanical system within the building. And then finally, geothermal. I think Claude will touch more on that with some specific examples, and Dermot touched on it as well, but there's some huge potential there. Again, to further those energy savings. This was the first major project I started looking at. This was in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was the World Jewelry Center. It was a 60-story building, mixed use. The first kind of top 10 stories were residential, high-end residential condominiums. And then the stories below were actually office condominiums. Leaders in the jewelry industry would actually buy these spaces rather than rent them, and would be in them for sporadic periods in the year. They weren't necessarily filled year-round. And then the final portion at the bottom was a huge retail section. So overall, it was about a 6,000-ton cooling job. Typically in Las Vegas, we're looking at huge chilled water plants, and we decided because there were certain design drivers on this one, we decided to look at something else. Firstly, the nature of the job. We have the residential, the commercial, which they wanted to phase the construction of, and year round, the usage of the space was very mixed. So we went with a full water-cooled heat recovery approach. We had our main condenser water loop right down the building, and on every other floor we had our banks of condensing units, which served fan coil units throughout the office spaces, fan coils in the tenant spaces, and then down in the retail space we would generate some chilled water for some radiant application, and provide free connections, so when new retailers could come in, they could tie directly into the system and provide further efficiencies. They were going for lead silver on this one. They wanted very accurate tenant billing. They were afraid of how that would run if people were there for maybe a month a year, or people were there for half a year. And we proved to them through the system controls and monitoring that this was very achievable. This was, just briefly, this is an overview of how the system was laid out. On our roof we had our cooling towers and our boilers to maintain that temperature, and we could play around with the temperature in the condenser water loop. And then down on each floor, it would serve our condensing units and fan coils. We also tied in at each level with small ERVs, so bringing dedicated outside air into each space. So when we analysed it, when we started running the energy models, this is what we began to find for ASHRAE 98.1. We were getting about 30% energy savings against a chilled water, hot water system for the entire building, which was pretty incredible. The client was pretty ecstatic with their energy costs coming down, and we also brought it forward and worked directly with the architectural team to help them analyse their building envelope and try and reduce the loads on the front end. But it proved in a climate like Las Vegas, which was very extreme heat, there was potential for a new way of thinking and a new system. And then moving on up to Canada, this was another project. It was for the OPP, Ontario Provincial Police. And they're rolling out 16 sites across the province. So they were looking at a more global system approach. In their prescriptive specification, they identified a more normal system, a hot water, a VAV system with further radiant heating in the perimeter. And we kind of went in and challenged that. We boiled it down to what the client was looking for in their design directives. First of all, they really wanted to reduce energy consumption and operating costs. They were looking at these buildings for 30 years, 16 sites, and they're responsible for the energy costs for that time. Again, they wanted low maintenance systems. They wanted a central FM provider to be able to monitor all 16 sites in isolation and not be running out to site. Some of them were in some more northern locations, which were quite hard to get to, so they didn't want to be having to run out to site a lot of the time. And again, with the VRF system, we could keep additional components on site for easy maintenance. And there was, again, some instances we looked with some forensic units as well, where there was more isolated systems. There were fears of cross-contamination, maintaining pressure differentials. But we managed to achieve that with the system. But it did take a lot of teaching and learning for the rest of the team and the client. It was fairly new to the installers, to the contractors, to the client, so it was giving them a sense of comfort with what we were proposing. And the way we did it, we kind of stripped down their performance specification, and we highlighted what they had. This is the system you've highlighted, and rather than analyse it for equipment against equipment, let's look at what you want to achieve and the design, and I'll tell you how we will achieve that and better it. So we went through the heating and cooling. They had, you know, DX cooling, a boiler plant, air handling units, and a high temperature perimeter radiant system. And we said just right off the bat, we can achieve that, and we can zone our heat pump or heat recovery water cooled system to meet all those design points and maintain all those comfort conditions you're looking for. Within some of the cells, they wanted non-intrusive systems, tamper-proof systems, so they were looking at radiant floors in slab. I said again, we can generate hot water from our system and provide radiant heating and/or radiant cooling. And then on the domestic hot water side, again, they were having a dedicated gas-fired system for that, and I said we can tie in, generate domestic hot water. And as we went through, they began to get it. But it's just one of the things we have to do, or I find we have to do in the industry. It's really teaching the end client and the people who are going to be running the systems and the people who are going to be installing the systems. But once they get it, and once they've done the training, they can see where the efficiencies lie in each of their kind of disciplines. It becomes a very effective approach. Just to finish, this was the overall kind of schematic design of the system we did, and it really highlights the full integration that we can achieve for looking at the entire building. So you can see. Down here we had a small fluid cooler on the roof and our condensing loop and our condensers. And, you know, they're providing comfort cooling to our fan calls within the space. So that was great. But then also off the same system, we can generate hot water or chilled water, and now tie directly into, I'd say, DX coil on the air side. So we were tying directly into ERVs on the roof for some of these, for the forensic units and just for our outside air to the space. And then furthermore, coming down here, we would generate high temperature hot water for our domestic, and then, our in-slab radiant. And overall, again, when we were running the numbers, we were seeing some very high efficiencies, some annual energy cost savings of about 30 to 38% across these buildings, which was pretty fantastic. So I want to thank you. That's the end of my presentation. I hope I've given you some insight to some of my experiences and why this is a very applicable solution.